RTE Pulse.
The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
You're listening to The Cosmo with myself, Scott the Butler, here on RTE Pulse. Now, as you may well know, it is going to be coming up to that time fairly shortly for the annual LGBT Noise March for Marriage that takes place in Dublin. It has been taking place in Dublin over the last few years. This time, it's going to be a little bit different because it will be the last march before the referendum on marriage equality that's going to be taking place, hopefully, early in 2015. But first, I want you to have a little listen to this. This is a clip from something of a drama, I guess you could say, that is set to take place in 2017. That's the context, at least. Have a listen.
Back in 2015, Ireland had a referendum on marriage equality. Sure, we weren't one bit worried.
We thought at best it'd be close.
As far as we knew, there was maybe 5 or 6 gays operating in Ireland at that time. We figured if it was just them, things would stay the way they were.
Equal enough for people like us.
But it was their friends.
Non-gays.
Normal people. They
marched. They voted, loads of them. They said things like people should be able to love whoever they want, even though they could do that already. There was nothing in it for them at all.
I mean, if they hadn't voted, everything would have been fine, but they did. And everything changed.
So much equality. Ireland was practically unrecognisable.
We tried to blend in, but the weddings were unbelievable. I felt completely underdressed.
And the cakes were, they were amazing.
It was at that point it became a question of survival.
We haven't left the house in 2 years, but we're not divorced either.
And neither of us have gone gay, even though that was the first thing we were expecting. So they want marriage. They want families. Well, they can't have mine.
We put our son Michael into his box the night the referendum passed.
I homeschool him myself.
Come on, Michael. Now look at the lovely woman. Oh, wow. Look at her. Huh?
Everything out there might have changed, but my family are safe.
I'm frightened all the time.
The brilliant Tara Flynn and Kevin McGahan there for their little video that they've done together as part of, or in promotion of, the LGBT Noise March for Marriage that is taking place on August 24th. To tell me a bit more about it, I have in studio with me Max Krzyzanowski, spokesperson with LGBT Noise. Max, you're very welcome along.
Thank you for having me, Scott.
Brilliant, brilliant piece. I have to admit, I was in stitches of laughter when I saw the video, and that video is available on lgbtnoise.ie at the moment, isn't
Absolutely. It's all over social media at the moment. I was just having a look at it before I came into studio, and while it's only been released for less than 12 hours, we've got about approaching 7,000 views on it already. It seems to have found fans in North America and far afield.
Wow.
It's incredible the kind of creative energy that we had in making this, and Kevin and Tara, as well as Martin Goggin, who directed and produced the piece. But we hope that it'll kind of be not merely just a humorous satire that encourages people to look on the funny side and come out and march and be part of the movement that helps move Ireland forward, but it's also going to be a little bit of a cultural history in the sense that one of the things that's characterised LGBT rights and the protests and the agitation for it has always been wit and humour and irony. And I think irony is the absolute best refuge against oppression. From Vaclav Havel in the former Czechoslovakia to many other people around the world, a wry turn of the mouth and a funny perspective on things can do more to loosen the tightness of oppression and its effects on you. So I think that this is going to be not merely a good bit of promo for the march, but also something that people will look back on and smile.
Excellent. Well, look, it's gone off to a fantastic start already. Now, this isn't the first time that March for Marriage has taken place, as I said earlier.
It's the sixth.
Sixth time already.
Yeah.
It must be amazing in some ways to think of the amount of progress that has been made so far in terms of the pressure that you've been keeping on, you know, the Irish authorities and the various governments. But obviously now we're coming up to a very crucial stage in terms of LGBT rights in Ireland.
Well, Yes, things have moved at a dizzying pace, especially if, as I am, you were old enough to have been an adult and been a criminal merely for being gay. Mm. And the glacial pace at which things like that being repealed happened. Also, the equalisation of the age of consent was another milestone, and the civil partnership legislation. There have been a number of key pieces of legislation, but and while, yes, from one point of view, this seems to be quite fast, it's very telling when you look at a map. With Ireland centred in the middle of all of the countries around us, and not one of those countries is without some form of marriage equality in them. Mm. So it's virtually impossible to fly out of Ireland in a straight line and hit landfall in a country that doesn't have better recognition of same-sex relationships than Ireland does. And I find that absolutely extraordinary that places like Canada, North America, Portugal, Netherlands, Iceland, all of these places are in advance of us. So yes, things may have moved reasonably briskly, but they have not moved briskly enough to suit me or the many people who've passed away during this journey who never got to see their rights vindicated.
Let's go back to the obviously the event in hand. There's going to be a fair amount of speakers that you'll be having as part of the March for Marriage. Tell us about them.
Well, I think it's always been part of Noise's ethos that we embrace everybody who falls under the ambit of LGBTQIAA and so forth, and straight. But principally, our agenda is to see the laws equalised for gender and sexual minorities. And although this campaign is about marriage, it's about couples who are currently prohibited from marrying, it's really important to us, and I think that's reflective of the wider community, that all aspects of the community, their voices are heard and that they're recognised and that they are embraced and that there's a unity about this, because I think many of your listeners, and I'm sure you have as well, Scott, saw the New Zealand Parliament pass marriage equality and how the gallery broke out into... I cried. Yeah. They broke out in the most beautiful Maori song. And there was this sense of embracing and overcoming past prejudices. Mm. And it's possible for referenda to be very divisive. And it's possible for people who are living in the shadow of the result of this referendum to feel incredibly pressured and stressed. And I think that the best way to counteract that is to ensure that all aspects of our community are held up, that they're visible, and that they have their voice. And to that end, we will have speakers from Belong To, the youth, the amazing youth organisation, from TENI, Transgender Equality Network Ireland, one of our partner organisations that we've worked very, very closely with over the years. We are going to have a member of Into LGBT, that's the Irish National Teachers Organisation, LGBT, and this is a group of people who have not existed as a group for very long, and they are finding their voice in the most extraordinary and powerful way, and we feel that they have something really important to say. We also have a member of PAVI LGBT, because it's not merely the case that somebody like Owen, who's going to be a speaker at the march, would face discrimination for being LGBT, but also from being from the travelling community. And it would be hypocritical of anyone to uphold the rights of a minority such as the LGBT community while not recognising the discriminations that other aspects of Irish society face. And I think Owen will have some important things to say on that point too. We are also going to have Fintan O'Toole, the journalist. He will speak, and Dil Wickramasinghe, who is a colleague of yours in broadcasting in Ireland. And holding it all together, tying it all with a beautiful ironic bow, will be Tara Flynn, of course, who you heard in the video there. She'll be emceeing. I'll introduce and I'll do the outros, but Tara's going to handle the rest of it. And so assembling outside City Hall and Dame Street, we'll have face painting, we'll have drumming bands, there's going to be the Pride flag, of course, which adds wonderful kind of air of international colour to the whole affair. We're having competitions to do with signs at the moment. If you can design your own sign and take a selfie with it, the best selfie with the best protest sign, we've got a holiday for two.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. And so there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And as important as all of that is the fact that it is the coming together of like-minded people who believe in equality for everybody, and that sense of shared purpose is what I most savour about the March for Marriage.
Well, it seems to be something, it seems to be an air that has captured the Irish people over the last few weeks for numerous different reasons. So no doubt that that will continue, and hopefully will add to the number of 5,000 that you saw last year for the March.
Indeed.
Max Krasnowski of LGBT Noise, thank you very much for dropping in. That is the March for Marriage taking place on August 24th from Dublin City Hall at 2:30. For more information on that, you can check out lgbtnoise.ie.
RTE Pulse.
The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
You're listening to The Cosmo with myself, Scott the Butler, here on RTE Pulse. Now, recently in the media, there's been a bit of controversy regarding the Broadcasting Association of Ireland and RTE Radio 1's Mooney Show. This was to do with a gay couple who were speaking on Mooney's show, as well as Tiernan Brady of Glen, talking about, or at least the gay couple were talking about their own civil partnership, and Tiernan Brady was discussing LGBT rights in Ireland. A complaint was made over the idea that the discussion was not balanced enough, and the Broadcasting Association of Ireland upheld that complaint despite RTE defending Derek Mooney's actions and indeed everyone else who was involved with the programme on that particular day. Now, I'm aware that this is a show on RTE and we're discussing an event involving RTE, but nonetheless, this makes for a very strange situation regarding discussing LGBT topics over the next few months in Ireland, especially coming up to the marriage equality referendum that will be taking place in 2015. Joining me in studio is Adam Long, our very own political and media correspondent. Adam, you're very welcome along.
Thank you very much, Scott. I like that. I like that introduction.
Not a bad title. Not a bad title. Listen, let's put some words to that title. In that case, it's quite a strange situation that we've come across in the last few weeks. There's been a bit of controversy, a bit of reaction to it, especially online. The word "balance" was made into a hashtag on Twitter and Facebook because of the idea that the BI was saying that there needs to be balance in programming to do with LGBT topics. This was a bit strange considering this wasn't a current affairs programme.
Exactly, and I think that's the kernel of it in many ways, that it wasn't a current affairs programme, and rules that would apply during a news programme were, I suppose, kind of transfixed, kind of transported over to a programme that it's not part of its remit at all. This ruling really has ignited a huge controversy, both within the LGBT community, for understandable reasons. It's seen as a setback. It's seen as a criticism, if you like, I suppose, of the LGBT movement. But interestingly, beyond that as well, just looking on social media, even looking in the mainstream media, there's been a lot of negative reaction from the point of view of freedom of the press. And also that this ruling, if given its or the logical conclusion of the ruling, would be impractical, because it's not possible to have across all media outlets to have every issue where there's an alternative point of view, if you like. That we'd have a very dull, we'd have a very boring media. That's not the purpose of the media. But as you say, that was one of the issues. The fact that and that was one of the defences made, that this wasn't a current affairs programme. You can't expect the same rules to apply. But there's also plenty of other arguments that have been made, which are also very valid and which make the ruling ruling even more bizarre. The fact that the rules that govern debate when a referendum occurs hasn't kicked in at all. In this situation, we don't have a date for any referendum on marriage equality. There's no wording yet produced. So the understandable strict rules which govern an issue that is being debated during the course of a referendum campaign absolutely do not apply in this case. And that really left people scratching their heads, saying that it just wasn't comparable to a referendum campaign. Another point being that this wasn't even about marriage equality. This discussion concerned an existing reality, and that existing reality is civil partnership. Like that's not a live debate. Couples across Ireland have been entering into civil partnerships. That was actually what was being under discussion. So on a number of grounds, the ruling really was very, very strange.
It was something that obviously made a lot of people, as you said yourself, scratch their heads, because, you know, if it were a situation that, you know, the topic in question was marriage equality, which of course this is something that a lot of us have spoken about, especially on this very programme, because we know it's going to be coming up. But, you know, as you said yourself, this is about civil partnership, something that's already in effect in Ireland. It was very, very strange. But what about, you know, the larger media in Ireland? You know, not just RTE that we're going to be talking about, but the idea of discussing LGBT topics. Now, we're kind of lucky in the sense of this is a show specifically for the LGBT community. So therefore, there is going to be a lot of discussion and indeed debate around the various topics. Other shows are going to be a bit more general in maybe their remit. You know, they might be more of a magazine style show, or might be a current affairs show. I presume that idea of balance will come into play, but the fact of, you know, what's going to be the landscape now, do you think, for just general radio programmes for the wider community or for the mainstream community in Ireland?
Well, that's the concern, Scott. That's the concern. Mm. How will this ruling be interpreted? And the real fear is that this ruling will have the effect of discouraging LGBT people coming on and talking about their experiences. And we must remember that, you know, it's been a very recent development in this country where a traditionally marginalised and a traditionally discriminated against community has been silenced, has been forcibly silenced. And then there was also the obvious concern about going on and sharing such personal and intimate details against the backdrop of a country that has only very recently made progress on these issues. So the real concern is that this ruling will now discourage who would want to go on to a programme, and they're not talking in a political context, they're not talking in, you know, they're not making any kind of legalistic point, they're talking about the reality of their lives in the same way that straight couples do every day of the week. And of course nobody, you know, that's not in any way controversial. Why then would there be a double standard applied to LGBT couples? So it's unclear at the moment. And interesting, actually, as I was coming out here this evening, I did read that the NUJ, in an interesting development, they've now contacted the BAI, and they've expressed their deep concerns about the impact of this ruling. And the NUJ would be the union that represents journalists, and they're saying that this ruling makes, outside of the, as I said, the damaging effect it has on our community, on the LGBT community, that more broadly it could make the lives and the job, well, sorry, it would make the day-to-day job of researchers, producers, presenters very, very difficult if they have to, because I suppose if there's consistency to be applied here, there's other issues which are subject to current debate. Even in terms of referendums due to come up next year, we're going to have a referendum about reducing the qualification age to be president. It's a very technical matter, but I'll just give you an example, Scott.
Yeah.
You have to be 35 to run for president in Ireland.
Yeah.
One of the recommendations of the convention didn't exactly set the world alight, but that to reduce the age, you know,
right.
Why should you have to be 35 in order to run for president? Yeah. I still just barely am under that under that age limit. So does that mean that you'd have to almost invent opposition to an issue like that? You'd have to find somebody who believes that 35 is the magical age that somebody should have to be to run for president. So it raises so many concerns, even beyond the understandable frustration and criticism that this ruling has attracted within the gay community.
Well, it's a very good point you made about the presidential debate, and it just shows either way that there's much more questions here than there might be answers at this stage. We're going to have to leave it at that for the moment. No doubt we'll be paying attention to this topic as it unfolds here on The Cosmo. But in the meantime, Adam Long, thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.
RTE Pulse.
The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
Now, Adam Long is still in studio with me here on The Cosmo. And going from media affairs to Limerick Pride. Tell us a bit about this.
Yes, Scott. A little bit of a shameless plug I'm going to insert here. Yes, Limerick Pride, great festival coming up starting next week, running for all of next week, accumulating in the parade then that's happening I think on Saturday week. But there's going to be a kind of a serious discussion, a political discussion happening Tuesday evening, next Tuesday evening, 6:30 to 8:30 in the Clarion Hotel. Mm-hmm. I'll be chairing it and I'll have a panel of guests, and basically it's titled LGBT Rights and the Campaign for Full Equality. Mm-hmm. And essentially it's part of the mobilising and the organising in advance of next spring's marriage equality referendum. So anyone in Limerick, anyone nearby, anyone in the Midwest, you'd be more than welcome to come along. And in fact, it really will be hopefully directed by the people in the audience. And it's a sharing of ideas. How can we win this referendum?
Any word on the panel, or is that top secret?
No, not at all. We kind of have a mix of people. We're going to have the wonderful Alva Smith, a well-known feminist, and she's also with Marriage Equality. We're going to have a local TD in that neck of the woods, Niall Collins. He's a Fianna Fáil opposition spokesperson on justice and equality. And we'll also have somebody from the USI. USI, I think, will have a crucial role to play in this because we really need to get the youth vote out. Register. Young people are on our side, 90% plus. They need to get out and vote.
Absolutely. All right. Now, for more information about Limerick Pride, it's limerickpride.ie.
They have a website. There's a programme of events on there, and I recommend people go on.
All right. Well, if anyone wants to find out more information from that, they can check out limerickpride.ie or check out Facebook and Twitter. In the meantime, Adam Wong, thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thank you, Scott.
Right. So we're going to continue on. A bit of arts coming up here on The Cosmo.
Online, on DAB, on Serviu, and on UPC. Channel 943. This is
RTE Pulse.
RTE Pulse.
The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
You're listening to The Cosmo with myself, Scott the Butler, here on RTE Pulse. Now it's time for the show to get a little bit artsy and a little bit cultural. A brand new play by the name of The Baltimore Waltz is just about to get ready to open up on stage at the Harbour Playhouse in Portobello in Dublin. And to tell me more about the show and what it's about is the producer of the show, Sean Denyer. Sean, you're very welcome along.
Thank you.
So tell us about The Baltimore Waltz. What is this all about?
Okay, well, it's written by an American playwright called Paula Vogel, who wrote it in the kind of early 90s as a response to the death of her brother, who died from complications due to AIDS. Yes, he died of pneumonia. And she had long kind of promised him, or they promised each other, to go on this trip to Europe, which, because of his death, never happened. So she kind of uses that as the sort of springboard for the play, really.
And it's interesting subject content to talk about, well, basically anything really to do with AIDS. It's not really something that's, you know, I guess the Irish theatre audiences are too exposed to. How difficult was it to approach this type of topic, or was it just easily approachable because of the script?
Well, I suppose the play is less about HIV and AIDS than about grief, in a way. And the play's very interesting. It's got a very interesting structure. On the face of it, it's a comedy about a brother and sister going on a kind of trip to Europe when she is diagnosed with having a terminal illness. But it quickly, well, as the piece evolves, you gradually begin to realise that it's actually not really about what it appears to be. It's very clever and uses a kind of humour and pastiche and all sorts of different kind of theatrical kind of techniques to really, I think people will wonder for the first half an hour what on earth is going on, and then gradually it sort of reveals what its real subject is, and it's a very engrossing piece, but a real challenge for the actors too.
Right, well, it sounds like a challenging piece, but definitely one that's obviously multifaceted and multi-layered, so there's a lot that people can take from it. How long does it take for something like that to, you know, put together?
Well, the group have been rehearsing for a couple of months now, I suppose. We're pretty intensively, and obviously they're ratcheting it up kind of as we speak, because there's only three people kind of in the piece, the brother and sister character, and then the other actor plays about 10 different roles, from a from a French waiter to a Dutch man to a German student. He's got a really tricky task of very quickly switching to from completely different people.
Right. Well, okay. So it's a bit of a challenge for the actors as well as
but also very good challenge. You know, very great for them too because they're all all the parts are really good and they're on stage all the time, all of them pretty much. So, but kind of managing the changes in sort of tempo as the piece goes on and becomes more serious after being a bit of a kind of knockabout comedy in its sort of early stages is a challenge for them, but they're rising to it.
Sean, for you working within theatre, how much of a challenge, or how different, or how enjoyable what was this piece to work on in comparison to what you've done in the past?
Well, I suppose it's a play we've always wanted to do within kind of acting out, but because the number, we've got a big number in acting out, and it's just too small, really, for us to have done. We've probably got 20 people in acting out now. So when this group said, oh, we'd like to establish a sort of another company to do kind of productions of other pieces, and there's some of the people from acting out, and they joined with some people who weren't involved in kind of acting out to create the company. We said, oh, well, that's great. You can do this piece, which we weren't really in a position to do, and we'll support you and help you in whatever way we can. And it's great that we're starting to see that from the acting out group, that there's other work, little offshoots kind of happening from the group who are taking on a life of their own.
So it shows really that acting out as a group is developing into more.
Exactly. I mean, we're always very keen on that as an idea, but now several of the people in the group have gone on to either do kind of acting or stage management and lighting or directing as a sort of third level sort of qualification, and we're very happy about having given people the opportunity to go and do that and maybe be part of building their experience or their confidence so they can launch into other ventures.
Well, obviously, it sounds like there's a lot of talent in acting out. But I guess going back to the show that we're chatting about tonight, The Baltimore Waltz, tell us where people can go along and have a look.
It's on at the Harbour Playhouse, which is a new, exciting new kind of space. It's on Avenue Road in Portobello, on a sort of small lane. It's a very intimate space, and you can bring your own bottle, which is marvellous news. And it's on from the 3rd to the 6th of September, that's a Saturday, to the Wednesday. And you can get tickets online at www.actingout.ticketleap.com, which is a bit of a mouthful, or probably quicker, go to our Facebook page, either Acting Out or this new company who are called Blue Heart Theatre. We've both got Facebook pages which are linked, and you can book if you're on a laptop or a desktop. You can actually get tickets directly from the Facebook page, or it'll have the links to the ticketing site, or of course you can turn up on the door.
Excellent. All right. Well, listen, Sean Den, you're a producer of The Baltimore Waltz. Thank you very, very much for chatting with us this evening. Best of luck with the show, and hopefully we'll be chatting to you soon.
Thanks very much.
RTE Pulse.
The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.